Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and greetings from Stamford, Connecticut. The title of this presentation is Balancing a Mosaic Tuberculosis Population. Authors are Sandra Morano, that's myself, Dr. Johnny A. Lee, and Olga Brown Vanderpool, the Director of Nursing and Dental Hygienist for the City of Stamford. I have no relationships to disclose. The learning objectives, can you hear me? Can you hear me better now? Okay, the learning objectives of this presentation are to discuss innovative strategies employed to increase compliance of active tuberculosis clients to complete treatment. These innovative strategies employed four management methods, which were home isolation versus hospitalization, creative incentives, pharmaceutical deliveries, and flexible direct observation therapy, also known as DOT or DOT. I'll be using those words interchangeably. The third learning objective is to assess clients' needs using cultural competency to achieve social justice. The successful treatment and surveillance of this disease is a result of active collaboration between the state health department, the local hospitals, and the local health department. The TB program is located in the city of Stamford in the southern portion of Connecticut, 38 miles outside of New York City. As was said before, its population is 120,000 people, and they speak 58 languages. And I don't know all 58, believe me. In 2009, there were 329 latent cases and 11 new active cases, active TB cases. By the way, the city of Stamford was highest in the number of active cases in 2008 with 11 new active cases. But back to 2009, from July to December of 2009, there were 7 new active cases, which was 64% of the DOT was done within a 6-month period. In order to understand the innovative strategies and social justice for the patient, the following slides will give a short introduction to the clients and their demographics. The cases are color-coded to identify them throughout the presentation, so I don't know if that would be helpful to you. Case number one was a 75-year-old foreign-born insured male. His TST, or tuberculin skin test, was 12 millimeters, and his chest x-ray was abnormal, consistent with TB. His sputum was smear positive until 10/28/09. He refused hospitalization and was home for 3 long months on isolation. Case two was an 18-year-old foreign-born insured female. She had a history of a positive TST. Her chest x-ray read right upper lobe, middle lobe infiltrate with left upper lobe perihilar cavitary. Her sputum was smear positive on 8/20/09 and culture positive from the same specimen. She was discharged home from the hospital smear positive and was on home isolation from 9/4 to 10/9, which was a little bit over 1 month. Case number three was a 21-year-old foreign-born uninsured female. Her TST was 18 millimeters, and she had been previously negative in June of 2004. Her chest x-ray was abnormal cavitary. She was sputum smear positive on 9/2/09, and she was an inpatient in an out-of-town hospital for 20 days. She was discharged home smear positive and was on home isolation from 9/23 to 10/19, approximately 3.5 weeks. She was finally smear negative on 10/16. Got sputum. The sputums were collected at home and sent to the Connecticut State Lab. In case, I don't know if everybody here is nurses or whatever, the sputums are what is the, it's diagnostic for the person that they're on tuberculosis. So getting a sputum culture is the final diagnosis. So that's what's needed before they need to be smear negative before they can go out and about in the community. When patients are in the hospital, the sputums are sent to the hospital lab. This is another example of collaboration between the state, the local health department, and the local hospital. Case number four was a 27-year-old foreign-born uninsured male. His TST was 15 millimeters on 8/10/09, and he had a history of a negative TST in 2005. His chest x-ray was abnormal, consistent with TB, no cavity though. His sputums were smear negative 8-11-09 and culture positive from the same day. He was referred to the Stanford Health Department by a private, out-of-town medical doctor after the patient was already on meds and at home for 4 days. So he proceeded to be on home isolation from 9-4 to 9-24. Case number 5 was a 27-year-old foreign-born uninsured female. Her TST was 23 millimeters on 7-23-09. She had been previously TST negative in 2007. Her chest x-ray read right upper lobe infiltrate on 7-28-09, and on 7-30, she had a chest CAT scan which showed multiple lung nodules. She was sputum smear negative from 8-1-09, but culture positive from that sputum. She visited the local emergency room, 3 separate visits, 7-30-09, 7-31-09, and 8-1-09, and still not put on any meds. Case number 6 was a 3-year-old U.S.-born retro-insured female, meaning her insurance was reinstated after her hospitalization. We have Husky, which is state insurance. Her TST was 0 millimeters, and her chest x-ray was normal. Her sputums were all smear negative. She was an extrapulmonary case, and her neck wound culture was positive for Mycobacterium tuberculosis on 8-20-09. Her mother administered her medication, Compounded Solutions, a pharmacy that compounds and flavors the liquid medicine, delivered the meds straight to her home. Case 7 was a 25-year-old foreign-born insured female. She had a chest wound that was culture positive for TB. Her TST was 15 millimeters and her chest x-ray was normal, but her chest CAT scan was abnormal with infiltrates. She had induced sputums, which were smear negative but culture positive. So she was already on meds for extrapulmonary tuberculosis from 11-2-09. Then she was started on direct observation therapy for pulmonary tuberculosis on 12-9-09. She was never hospitalized or isolated. Extrapulmonary does not need to be isolated. Case number 8 was a 30-year-old uninsured male. His TST was 0 millimeters. His chest x-ray, which was done out of state, was cavitary. His sputums were smear positive. He was started on meds on 4-15-09, but unfortunately he died on 5-22-09 after a little more than 1 month on medication. He was living in Stanford, then traveled to New York where he was diagnosed with TB. This is a chart, a timeline to visually show you the length of isolations due to each other. On top, does this have a little pointer? On top is a patient one with that 3 months of long isolation. Whoops. Uh-oh. How do I go back? Ooh, okay. So it looks exciting again. So that was 3 long months because he was not really happy with me coming 3 months. Okay, the second one. This is patient 2, 3, 4, and 5. These cases all were within a 1.5 month period. The blue bars on the bottom, so it's like 2 charts in one. I did not do this. The state epidemiologist helped me with this. But these blue lines signify when I did direct observation therapy at their house. At one point it was like 4, which isn't a lot, but when they were at home, I had to be the nurse. You know, they took everything out on you. You know, you were the only nurse that they saw. And when people are in isolation, it's hard for them. So it doesn't seem like you might think 4. That's not that much. But you had to really spend time with the people and talk to them. The blue bars on the bottom represent the DOT done on the home isolation case. The rapid increase in active clients demanded significant DOT within this period. Innovative strategy number 1, I named it 1A, because it was home isolation versus hospitalization. Now that you have an overview of these cases, I know it was a little lengthy, but it's time to talk about the innovative strategies used to ensure compliance. The first one was home isolation versus hospitalization. Patient 1 refused to be hospitalized. He said, his friend died in the hospital, I'm not going in the hospital. He lived alone, which was conducive to home isolation, which turned out to be 3 months. Patient 4 was at home for 4 days before referred, so there was no point now that they'd been at home to put them in the hospital. So we kept him at home. We made sure, you know, everybody was PPD'd in the home, made sure the other people were put on medicine. Patient 5 was a single mom of a 5-year-old who was positive TST and put on INH right away. The decision to keep mom home with her child was made in collaboration with the pediatric TB doctor, the child's pediatrician, and the pediatric pulmonologist. So it was in her best interest in the child psychologically to keep the mom at home because she didn't have people to watch the child. These clients were innovative strategy 1B is home isolation until smear negative. These clients were hospitalized but sent home smear positive, and so they had to stay on home isolation until they turned smear negative. Patient 2 was at home for 1 month until smear negative. Patient 3 was at home 3.5 weeks until smear negative. An out-of-town hospital wanted to keep her hospitalized until she was smear negative. So it was cost-effective, too, besides that the patients liked it better being at home than being cooped up in a hospital room. Innovative strategy number 2 was creative incentives. There was resistance on the part of patient number 4 and patient number 5 to buy into DOT due to they distrusted the system. Remember, patient number 5 had been in the ER 3 times and wasn't put on any meds until like a month and a half later. So they didn't trust the system. So upon collaboration with the State of Connecticut Health Department, $100 American Express gift cards, one card each month, were secured for 3 months for each patient. To initiate DOT treatment and get them to buy in and comply. Compliance was successful. All the other patients received $10 grocery cards every week for 6 to 9 months, depending on their length of treatment. Innovative strategy number 3 was delivery of pharmaceuticals. All the meds for the pulmonary tuberculosis cases were delivered to the patient's home, workplace, or received in the office. Some contacts to active cases had home deliveries as well and home follow-up. It was difficult to get patient 8's contacts. Patient 8, remember, died after a month. His father and his stepmother to comply to treatment. Through caring, persistent home visits, and pill delivery, both eventually complied. All TB meds are dispensed free of charge to clients at the local Stanford Hospital Pharmacy, another partnership with the hospital. Innovative strategy number 4, flexible DOT. Patient 1 started on daily direct observation therapy, then tried 3 times a week, but he couldn't tolerate. He was 75 years old, if you remember, the high dosages, so he went back to daily dosaging. Patient 2 had a changing weekly schedule at a grocery store, so we had a flexible twice-a-week schedule for her. Patient 3, after she was off isolation, she missed a few appointments. Then I found out she'd moved out of home, was living out of her parents' house in a different state, but we resumed DOT at my office. Patient 7 received DOT at her place of employment at lunchtime and using the city car. These are just some pie graphs showing. In the green shows that the percentage of insured versus uninsured cases. The green shows 46% of the cases were uninsured, and the blue shows that 54% of the cases were insured. This pie graph shows the percentage of foreign-born versus U.S.-born. The blue shows that 72.70% of the cases in Stanford were foreign-born, while 36.36% were U.S.-born. Not graphed, but worth mentioning was that 6 of the 11 cases were female. Social justice for compliance. Now, how are these innovative strategies used to create social justice? First of all, there were 11 cases. 6 cases were insured and 5 were uninsured, as I told you before. There were 5 home isolation cases, all of whom were foreign-born. The 5 remaining cases were discharged home, smear negative, and 1 patient was never hospitalized. There was no preferential treatment of insured versus uninsured on home isolation. Non-compliant, high-risk, latent patients had pharmaceutical deliveries. This bar graph shows the comparison of age distribution in active cases in Stanford, which is the blue. Where's my little? Okay. And the state of Connecticut, which is in the green. Of greatest note is the disproportionate number of approximately 62% of cases were between the ages of 18 to 31, while in the state of Connecticut, only 30% were in this age group. Stanford only had 25% greater than 31 years old, while the majority of cases in the state of Connecticut, 62%, were greater than 31 years old. Due to the disproportionate number of clients between 18 and 30 years old, the DOT needed to really be managed to make it work. Utilizing Eric Erickson's stages of psychosocial development, intimacy versus isolation management methods specific to this age group were created, being that at this stage in their lives, these young people, the 18 to 31-year-olds, are either developing intimacy or isolating. Therefore, physical isolation in the hospital was especially difficult for them. This is why home isolation for smear positives was initiated. Also, at this age, they're establishing independence, which having to have a DOT person can hamper them. They weren't really interested in my coming around. Social justice achieved through cultural competency. What is cultural competency? By definition, it involves the development and integration of certain attitudes, knowledge, and skills. This was definitions from Cultural Competency and Tuberculosis Care, New Jersey Medical School Global TB Institute in 2008. There are many cross-cultural patient interactions which improve compliance and build trust between the patient and the nurse. This nurse's self-awareness and patient perception during the many encounters achieved compliance. Social justice, regardless of demographics. Three of the patients negotiated home isolation. Two other clients were home isolated as smear positive due to their ages, as I've stated before. Each case was handled on a patient needs, not on the standard 2 weeks in the hospital, three negative smears, and decrease in signs and symptoms of TB. In conclusion, innovative strategies and management methods employed increased patient compliance. Creative incentives, which were funded by the State Health Department and the American Lung Association, were extremely beneficial. Showing respect to each person and creating social justice using Eric Erickson's psychosocial theories as well as cultural competency ideas were important in balancing a mosaic TB population. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Johnny Lee, our former Director of Health and Social Services in the City of Stamford, Olga Brown Vanderpool, the Director of Nursing and Dental Hygienist for the City of Stamford. She wasn't able to come today. Connecticut Tuberculosis Control Program, Heidi Jenkins, Dr. Mark Lobato, Danielle Orkett, Terry Rabatsky, Dr. Lynn Sosa, and Maureen Williams. I'd like to end with Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Thank you to the people of Colorado for having us here. It's such a beautiful place. Thank you.
We have a small enough group. Are there any questions right now for this last presentation? Go ahead.